Palm Sunday is really a celebration. It has the feel of celebration in many ways. We have the red pyramids, we have the kids singing and waving the palms around like a celebratory parade. It's a lot of fun. It's a real fun day. Part of it makes me think of winning the Super Bowl. You know, just imagine you win the Super Bowl. Probably not as a Minnesota Viking, sad to say. But just imagine that you won the Super Bowl. Those last seconds tick off the clock, and you know, without a doubt, that you are a Super Bowl champion. And all of a sudden, fellow players are taking big buckets of Gatorade, and they're dumping them on the coaches' heads. Again, probably not a Vikings coach, but they're dumping them on coaches' heads. And then the team, when it's all said and done, they return home. And when they return home, they often return to a big parade. The players sit on floats, and they go down the main street of whatever city they're in, and they get heralded as victors, as conquerors, as they come in to the city. Palm Sunday kind of has that feel of being in a victory parade. You could also think of it as American troops might experience when they, maybe during World War II, when they marched into France, and as they go into small towns, the French population receive them with great welcome because they were the conquering heroes coming in and ousting the Germans. Palm Sunday has this feel as the city welcomes Jesus as royalty, as the conquering hero. When Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, the city of King David, he enters like a royal victor. He enters into town riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey, the way kings would have came into town. And the people spread their cloaks and they spread leafy branches out in front of them because that's what they did when kings were anointed. They're receiving Jesus as a king. And they shout out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." If you were at Bible study this morning, we learned that Hosanna means save us. Save us. These are people who want to be rescued. They want to be saved. They need a king. And they welcome Jesus in. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Like I said, when Americans came into Paris and into France and were welcomed there as conquering heroes, Jesus is kind of like that. The people are welcoming him as a conquering hero, hopefully there to get rid of the Romans, the occupying force. This is the emotion and celebration of Palm Sunday. But as we know, things turn sour pretty fast. We read in our gospel in Mark 14 that not more than a few days later, after Jesus was heralded in, that the chief priests and the scribes seek how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. They didn't like this so-called king. They didn't like how he upset the status quo, how he healed people and did work on the Sabbath. They didn't like how he fraternized with the poor, hung out with the disenfranchised, the diseased of the area. They especially didn't like the authority he claimed in his teaching, nor the authority that others gave to him. Specifically, that people were calling this guy the Son of God. That wasn't a title that anybody should grab. That's a title that's it's blasphemy to the Jews. God has no son. Not only that, but it's blasphemy to the Romans. Only the Roman emperor called himself the Son of God. It was too much. Jesus wasn't playing their game. So he needed to be killed. Judas Iscariot didn't like how Jesus was doing things either. Now, Scripture doesn't exactly tell us why Judas betrays Jesus, but we know that Judas was greedy for money. He was the person that handled the disciples' money bag. And in another gospel, we read that he liked to skim off the top a little bit, that he was greedy in that sense. We also know from other gospels that he was the one that wished that this woman who poured this expensive ointment, this expensive perfume, would have sold it so that there was money in the pot to feed the poor. Really, Judas didn't want to feed the poor. He just wanted more money to be able to steal from. It's possible, too, that Judas wanted Jesus to start a revolution, to oust the Romans out of Israel. And maybe he felt that if he betrayed Jesus, that he would force Christ's hand into starting this revolution. We don't really know. What we do know is that Judas Iscariot, one of Christ's closest companions, made a deal with the chief priests in order to betray Jesus over to them. It didn't take long to go from the pageantry, the celebration of Palm Sunday, to hatred and betrayal. And the chief priests and Judas really aren't the only ones to clamor for Christ's death in the end. The same crowd that shouts Hosanna today is the one that shouts Crucify him on Friday. And we find our faces in both crowds. We glorify God. We give him praise, especially when things are going well. When we feel like we've been especially blessed, we give God praise. We give our thanks to God. When life moves along according to our plan, things are going well. But when things change, when life turns sour, when we don't get our way, our tune often changes. At that point, at best, God doesn't make sense anymore, or he feels distant. At worst, though, God is no longer good. He is more than distant, he's just not there anymore. And at those points, it'd be easier to just proclaim that God is dead. But the woman in our gospel, she understands her face in the crowd. She knows who she is, and she knows, at least to some degree, who Jesus is. Perhaps more importantly, though, is she knows what she is, and she knows what Jesus has come to do for her. She is a sinner, and she is in need of grace. Hosanna is more than just a word of celebration to her. It's a desperate plea for help. Save us, O Lord. So she comes to Christ, who is where he's supposed to be, reclining at the table of Simon the leper, an unclean outcast. And there she breaks open the jar of expensive perfume and pours it over the head of Christ. Some in the household scold her for wasting the ointment, but Christ commends her. She's devoted to him. She loves him for what he has done. And as Christ tells us, she really is helping to prepare him for his burial that is to come, for that which he is going to endure in Jerusalem. Jesus tells the people, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. Jesus is the victorious one. He is the one who should be heralded with palms, ride in on a colt. He's the one who should have the bucket of Gatorade thrown over his head in celebration. But instead, he gets a bucket of burial spices tossed over him, poured over him, preparing him for the death that is to come. That doesn't sound very victorious, does it? To be buried before you're being buried. He deserves the crowd of people at Palm Sunday proclaiming, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He deserves the royal victor's parade. But in the end, he receives a procession of anger and spite and abuse as he walks the way of grief to the cross. Christ is victorious, but his victory is found in his suffering. It is found in his death. His victory comes through his obedience to God's will, as we heard from Philippians. God's will, which called Christ to empty himself, to give himself up of his godness, to take the form of a slave, to humble himself, to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. A criminal's death, suffered amongst, but most importantly, for sinners. Christ dies for you. We like to proclaim him as king, but this king wore a crown of thorns. And he did so for you, for sinners like you and I, so that we could be forgiven, and that through him, through his death and his glorious resurrection that we celebrate in a week, that we can have a share in that. And in a way, as we are baptized, we get that bucket of celebratory water dumped over us as well, as we are proclaimed victors through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection given for you. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this Palm Sunday. We thank you that you are the King that we need, the one who needed to suffer and die for us so that we could have true life, that we could have true freedom, and that we could be returned and reconciled to you, God. We pray, Lord, that as this week continues, you would be with us in our celebration, in our time of repentance, in our time of sorrow. We pray this in your name. Amen.